That you have spent time and more time than usual in prayer this past week through this election that we have come through. And even as I speak, I can't be sure that all the results have been announced, which is fine because the message for today was prepared prior to the election. But my hope that your faith has been a part of your walk this week through everything that you dealt with. And know that your faith can be with you even as Jesus promises to be with you through him and confession that he is Lord. We have an affirmation of our faith which reminds us at Daleville Christian Church the faith that we proclaim and hold, this one from Ephesians in the second chapter. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading of God's word for today is 1 Timothy in the second chapter, the first 8 verses. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want everyone everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this day. I believe it is important for me to let you know that today's message was conceived before last Tuesday, Election Day, in this country. The sermon was conceived before Election Day in this country because I knew that all the words leading up to the election were not kind words. The words before the election were not encouraging words. The words before the election were not even hopeful words. Mostly the words being shared before the election were full of rancor. Rancorous words are words of bitterness, words of resentment, and usually a resentment of long standing. So when the months before an election contain long standing resentment or produce long standing resentment, they don't go away the day after the election or whenever the results are announced. I've shared with you that I was taught and I believe that pastors must be politically neutral. Me, personally, I was on the debate team in high school and in college. I had to learn two sides of every issue, argue for them and against them all day during a tournament, and try to be good at both sides. Most people today not only won't do that in this country, some of them can't see both sides of an issue. Today in America, if you tell someone that every coin has two sides to it, they will just get mad at you and some will argue with you about it. As I've said, and I really don't like quoting myself, I'm on record as saying we in America have taken something as wonderful and beautiful as free elections and made them something ugly. As a pastor, as far as politics goes, I watch people. I see the anger, the frustration, the hate, the fear, their belief in an enemy, an American enemy. I hear the hopelessness, the sense of powerlessness, and to make it worse, many Americans are not even nominally followers of the Christian faith. I can't even ask everyone to pray together for the betterment of the country and the future together. Some don't know what prayer is, or even how to pray, or who to pray to. They don't know the God who listens to, who hears prayer and responds to prayers. Some people don't know that the King of the universe is not surprised or upset by the election result delays. But God knows that we are anxious. I want us to remember that with regard to the election, we decided. No matter who has won the election, we decided. We Americans, all of us. Those who voted decided. Us. People you love and people you don't. Although as a Christian, you are working on loving all of them. Kate Sweeney is a professor of psychology at the University of California, Riverside. Sweeney isn't your average anxious voter. She has devoted a big part of her career to studying how humans deal with uncertainty as they await the outcomes of events they deem important. The answer is this: we get anxious. Whether we're waiting for medical test results or academic test results or election results, we get anxious. This anxiety serves a purpose, and sometimes that response, that anxiety response, goes haywire. And amid uncertainty, our brains have an especially hard time calming down. Part of our problem this week has been us. We are human beings. I was taught in seminary that there are two things that will bring everyone to your church. Two things will bring everyone to your church: a church fight and a fire. I have seen it in my lifetime. It's sad and still true, although I've tried to avoid both here at Daleville Christian Church. This is what I actually texted my children on the morning of Election Day, and I'll gladly show the FBI my texts if I need to. I texted, "Don't worry, children, no matter what happens today, we will have still elected an old white guy to be president of the United States." And as you see, I am correct. And I'm sorry, but this election has made this lengthy introduction necessary. Let me share the first thoughts as I came to prepare for this sermon. These were the first notes in my file for today. My first thoughts in getting the sermon together. Thinking about America the Beautiful. Proverbs 24:14. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Praying together for a better nation. The Amplified Version of Proverbs 24:14 says this: "Know that skillful and godly wisdom is so very good for your life and soul. If you find wisdom, then there will be a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation will not be cut off." And I believe I've mentioned before, Jesus is our wisdom. King Solomon prayed, 1 Kings chapter 8, "And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need." One of our elders' favorite Bible verses is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Another version puts it this way: however, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, search for me, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear their prayer from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their country. Having said that, let's get started with today's message. If you really want to start an argument in this country today, all you need to do is ask people, ask anyone, and you will start an argument, what is the best Halloween candy? When you ask that question, come to find out there are no red and blue states. Come to find out that instead of red and blue states, there are Reese's states, Milky Way states, candy corn states, there are even Jolly Rancher states. But there are no circus peanuts states. Circus peanut candy's been around since the 1800s, and they're still available, but they don't rank in sales at Halloween for any state in these United States. Halloween candy sales were expected to be to reach nearly $2.4 billion this year, just below last year's $2.6 billion. Only 11% fewer people plan to hand out candy this year from past years. Every year, the bulk candy retailer comes up with a map of top candy choices for each state. So even if families with kids found Halloween 2020 a little rough this year, and with the pandemic, with a little more worry and some anxiety, your candy companies, your candy makers, your candy retailers did not worry, they did not panic, they did not have any anxiety in 2020. They had $2.4 billion of happiness. They all had a great Halloween 2020. And there is disagreement across the country on the best candy. Can you be sad about that? My experience is that candy is fun even if you're not eating it, even if you can't eat it. Candy to me is like flowers. Candy doesn't do anything. It can just sit there and make me smile. As an historian, if I'm eating candy corn, I'm eating the very same candy I ate in my childhood. Do you take that for granted? I do not. There are some candies that have disappeared. And even still, some of those candies can be found at your local Cracker Barrel or online. But even if your favorite candy got rotated out of stock, there are plenty of favorites that are still in production. What does this have to do with anything? Are you kidding? It means that life in America is still great. Hershey's, the great American chocolate bar. And try Hershey's chocolate pudding. You have to make it. I only ate twice at the Hershey restaurant in Hershey, Pennsylvania as a kid, and I still remember their chocolate pudding. Do you want to talk about differences among the states in this country? It isn't red and blue. In Washington State, it's Tootsie Pops. In Oregon, it's M&Ms. All the colors are popular there. Red, blue, green, brown. Michigan buys more candy corn at Halloween. You can take a bag of candy corn to Michigan and be friends with Democrats and Republicans, and you can probably make friends with people who didn't vote at all with a bag of candy corn. Come to find out that in North Dakota, candy corn is also the favorite. So Democrats and Republicans from different states can agree on important issues like candy corn. Ask yourself, do you really believe anyone in those two states would vote against candy corn? No way. Now, you might be concerned, is America changing? Yes, America is changing. The candy counters show a continued shift away from chocolate as the favorite to fruity favorites. In fact, Starburst took over third place nationally, pushed M&Ms into fourth place. 25 states in this election year crowned a new favorite Halloween candy in 2020. Are you okay with that? Did you hear about any protests about this? Did you read about media types calling the other candy companies names or suggesting that they change their recipes? No. Did any dentists go on strike? No. Did you hear about the Russians or the Chinese interfering with candy sales? No. Did you hear about the Russians or Chinese manipulating candy sales records? No. Is it okay if the Hershey Company is an American multinational company? Is it okay that the Godiva Chocolate Company, the maker of Belgian chocolates, is owned by a Turkish company, but half of the Belgian chocolates are made in Reading, Pennsylvania, by Americans? Are you okay with that? I am. But I'm making myself hungry talking about it. I'm going to have to stop. In all the fears that I've listened to from both parties in this election, I have not heard of a split in the Union of the United States of America. When I heard so much disgust that some citizens had with their governors, I didn't even hear anyone say, well, you can just leave the state then. During the Vietnam War, some said, America, love it or leave it. I didn't hear anyone say, Kentucky, love it or leave it, or haul yourself off to South Dakota. I did hear the Kentucky governor ask people not to go to the beaches of the South and come back with the coronavirus, but the governor of Kentucky never said, please go to the beaches in the South and stay there and don't come back. Still, some Kentucky citizens gave their governor a lot of grief. I heard that some guys wanted to kidnap the governor of Michigan, but I didn't hear what the plan was from there. Hostage? Would they force the Michigan governor to make the coronavirus go away? If they didn't like the governor, why did they want to bring the governor to their place? Why didn't those folks move to a friendlier state? Move to a state where the governor of Michigan wasn't governor. I didn't hear anyone repeat State Farm Insurance's slogan, get yourself to a better state. There are certainly some things I have not understood in this election year. Two things seem clear to me. There's plenty of disagreement and there's a lot of anger. Psychologists tell us that some folks, men especially, won't get sad because that's not manly, but those same people will get angry, and sometimes they will get violently angry. It bothers me that in America, it's perfectly okay to get really angry. I once heard that in New York City, it was every person's right to be angry. The Bible says it's okay to be sad. It's even okay to cry. God gave us tear ducts, and I'm sure that God intended for us to use those tear ducts that God gave us. Remember, all animals make tears, only human beings. That's all of us. Only human beings cry for emotional reasons. One of the most human things you can do is cry. And you are allowed to get angry. Bible allows that too. Be angry, but sin not, it says in Ephesians. I knew that no matter how this election turned out, that half the country was going to be upset. And if they didn't allow themselves to cry, they were probably going to get angry. So I went to a person who dealt with this country when it was torn apart, Abraham Lincoln. Do I have to remind you about the American Civil War? We are still feeling its effects. But basically, there were large armies of Americans in the fields of this country killing other Americans. And for clarity's sake, for 3 years, those armies of Americans were all white European descendants. There were even Irish brigades on both sides of that conflict. It was a woman who wrote and suggested to Abraham Lincoln, Sarah Josepha Hale, who wrote the president saying that we need a fixed national Thanksgiving day. Not only did the president agree, the president decided that the time was right now to do it in the middle of the Civil War in 1863. The president called for a national day of Thanksgiving, stating in part, this is part of Lincoln's call, the year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. to these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, they are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. These gifts, Lincoln wrote, should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. One heart and one voice by the whole American people. You see, President Lincoln never acknowledged or accepted that the Southern states were a separate nation, as those states declared themselves. Lincoln saw those states and those Americans as in rebellion, but they were still Americans. When Lincoln was elected in 1860, there were four candidates for president. Lincoln got the majority of votes, but he did not get even half the votes of the country because there were four parties running candidates. He was reelected in 1864, although until the war situation was moving toward a Union victory, Lincoln's reelection was in doubt. In his second inaugural address, which Lincoln knew would speak to a soon-to-be United States, declared this: "With 500,000 dead Americans having killed each other," Lincoln declared, "with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan, to achieve and cherish a lasting peace among ourselves and with the world, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with the world, all nations, to which I say, and I hope all of us as Americans can say, Amen."